Welcome to this episode of FEA Today. My name is Matt Costella, director of the Fundamental Evangelistic Association, headquartered at the Grace Bible Church in Fresno, California. Our hope and prayer is that this brief program will encourage you in the things of the Lord and direct your attention to God's Word as you seek to make sense of the world in which you find yourself today. In our last episode of FEA Today, we began to look at the doctrine of the eternal security of the believer. We considered several reasons why this issue is so important, not just for the theologians to discuss, but it has practical implication for our lives as believers even now. The issue is important because of the vast number of professing Christians who embrace the idea that a believer can lose his salvation. The issue is important because the very doctrine of salvation is at stake. The issue is important because the character of God and the credibility of the Bible is at stake. And the issue is important because one's walk and witness before others are certainly affected. We begin to consider the work of God the Father and how God the Father plays a key role in keeping the believer secure. We looked at Romans chapter 8, verses 28, 29, and 30, and we saw God's golden chain of redemption. We considered Philippians 1, 6, where the Apostle Paul was confident of the very thing that God, who began a good work in the believer, will perform or will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. We looked at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, where we read that we are kept by the power of God and we are ready to be revealed in the last time. This is our hope. This is our confidence. We want to begin in this issue by looking at John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, we begin with verses 27, 28, and 29, and Jesus declares, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." We're continuing to consider the role that God the Father plays in keeping the believer eternally secure. And these three verses in John chapter 10 are so important. These three verses are perhaps the most frequently used verses to support the doctrine of the eternal security of the believer. And they actually refer to the role that both God the Father and God the Son have in keeping believers secure. Four times in this text, in these three verses, Jesus provides the fact that his sheep will never be lost. First, he says, "I give unto them eternal life," in verse 28. Then in verse 28, he also adds, "They shall never perish." The idea is never, no, never perish. And then in verse 28, we also read, "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." And then the fourth thing we see is he says, "No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand," in verse 29. These unmistakable references to the eternal security of the sheep, that is, of the believers, cannot be ignored or explained away. When Jesus Christ says that no man can pluck them out of his hand, and that no man is able to pluck them out of his Father's hand, and then in verse 30, that he and his Father are one, he is making the strongest possible statement that could ever be made concerning the security of his sheep. The context of this passage makes it clear that those who genuinely believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are the sheep. We could go back up to verse 26, which text informs us that the Pharisees were not the sheep because, why? They, quote, "believe not." You see, the sheep to which Jesus refers are those who have trusted in him. They became sheep by believing, not by performing any particular work of their own accord. When Christ says no man can cause a believer to lose his salvation, he includes every man, even the believer himself. A child of God is powerless to pluck himself out of his Father's almighty hand. So clearly, God the Father plays a very important role in the eternal security of the believer. But now we turn to the work of God the Son, Jesus Christ. The work of God the Son also keeps us secure. We read in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The word gift is key in this verse. This gift that has been provided by God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. This salvation was provided through Jesus Christ, not through any work or merit of man, and that's precisely what makes this a gift of God. Those who believe they can lose their salvation after they have been truly saved are really placing their faith in their works plus their faith. But the gift, the free gift given by God, leaves no room for works, but only for faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The last sentence in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17 further supports the idea that God's gift of eternal life is, in fact, free. It says, "And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." This invitation of salvation expressly states that whoever hears the gospel message may respond to it by partaking of the water of life freely. No works are involved, nor is any mention made of the possibility of having to pay for the gift at a later time. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 also clearly states that salvation is a free gift that is not obtained by fulfilling any works, but by placing one's faith in Christ. We read in verses 8 and 9 of Ephesians 2, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Notice the Apostle Paul's use of the past tense in the opening verses of Ephesians chapter 2. If you look in your Bibles back at the opening verses of chapter 2, he told the Ephesian Christians that they were dead in trespasses and sins, verse 1, and that in time past they walked according to the course of this world, verse 2. That in times past they lived according to the lust of the flesh, verse 3. And again, that they were dead in sins, verse 5. But then notice that once they were quickened, which means to be made alive, now they are, Paul says in verse 6, raised up together and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see, these Ephesian believers were raised up and they were made to sit in heavenly places, notice, in Christ Jesus. Salvation, Paul says, is the free gift of God given to the one who has believing faith in Christ, not to the one who does or does not perform certain works. If the latter were the case, then men would have cause to boast in their own works. But Paul writes, God's free gift is not of works, lest any man should boast. It's by grace we're saved through faith, not of ourselves. It is this gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, we now turn to Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, considering the work of God the Son in keeping us eternally secure. We read in Hebrews 7:25, "Wherefore he," that is Jesus Christ, "is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him," that is Jesus Christ, "seeing that he," Jesus Christ, "ever liveth to make intercession for them." This text not only tells the believer that he is secure once he is saved, notice, saved to the uttermost, but it also tells us how we're actually kept secure, and that is by the intercession of Jesus Christ. The believer is secure because of the intercession made on his behalf by Jesus Christ, who, verse 24 tells us, "continueth ever and hath an unchangeable priesthood." Because Jesus arose from the dead, showing that his perfect sacrifice was acceptable in the sight of the Father, Jesus Christ can intercede on the believer's behalf when he does sin. The fact that this intercession is continual is because Christ ever liveth. He ever lives to make intercession for the believer. This shows that although the Christian will sin, we will displease our Heavenly Father at times, Jesus Christ pleads our case before God. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 clearly teaches that the child of God, the believer, will in fact sin after he is believed. But because Jesus Christ is our advocate with the Father and the propitiation, that is the wrath-removing sacrifice for our sins, the believer can rest assured that his salvation is secure in Christ and that he's forgiven in the sight of God the Father. These two verses in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, show that Christ is not only the advocate, but was also the bearer of the deserved punishment, so that the individual who has sinned will not have to pay the damnable price himself. The result of Jesus' intercession is that the Father will hear the advocacy of the Son and forgive the wayward saint, because the Son was the perfect acceptable sacrifice for all mankind. He paid the price on the cross once for all. Romans chapter 8 and verse 34 is a similar portion, situated in the context of other verses that speak of the eternal security of the believer. Romans 8:34 describes the present work of Jesus Christ. It gives us even more information than Hebrews 7:25. It says Jesus is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. The Christian can know he's eternally secure in Christ because Jesus' perfect work on the cross makes him the perfect intercessor on the believer's behalf. At this very moment, Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father in his glorious presence, intervening on our behalf. What a blessing. What an incredible blessing to understand the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And we turn to Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. Notice what the Apostle Paul declares in Romans 8, 38 and 39. Paul writes, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." Notice Paul is saying he's persuaded that nothing, death, life, things we can see, things we cannot see, things that may happen now, things that may happen later, down the road, any other creature, nothing shall be able to separate us. Paul is writing about himself and believers from the love of God, which is in or through Christ Jesus our Lord. Like the text that we began to look at in this episode, John chapter 10, like the text in John 10, this passage of Scripture describes the role of both God the Father and the Son, the role they both play in the security of the believer. These two particular verses are the answer to the question stated in verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" This text is telling us nothing imaginable can separate a true Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ, one who has been justified before God, from the love of Jesus Christ. In fact, in all, the Apostle Paul lists 17 things in verses 35, 38, and 39 that cannot separate the believer from the love of his Lord. Those 17 things are all-encompassing. One cannot get more secure than this. What a blessing to understand the fact that not only the work of God the Father, but the work of God the Son also keeps us eternally secure. We can know that we have eternal life. In fact, God's word says that the things in his word are written that we may know that we have eternal life. Do you know today that you have eternal life? It's not based on your feelings. It's not based on your works. It's based on the free gift offered through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ on your behalf. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's so important that we understand the reality of not only salvation or justification, but the fact that we can know we have eternal life and that we are secure in Christ Jesus because of what God the Father and the Son has done and is doing on our behalf. Lord willing, next time we'll consider the fact that the Holy Spirit plays a vital role as well in keeping the believer eternally secure. But until then, may the Lord continue to bless you.